Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, today, dear friends in Christ, I'd like us to go to Psalm 146, which we spoke responsibly a moment ago. And you may want to just look that up in your Bible, or you can find it in the hymnal as well. But especially honing in for kind of the theme of what I'd like us to think about, you see in verse 6b, God keeps faith forever. Wow, simple statement, but so profound and powerful and comforting, isn't it? That God keeps faith forever. In other words, he is the perfect promise keeper. And so that's the theme I'd like to follow this morning, that God is the perfect promise keeper. Remember that song by Dionne Warwick back in the 60s? It was in 68, Promises, Promises. And remember in that psalm, kind of a theme throughout the song was, promises, promises, I'm all through with promises. And certainly that song really presented the frustration that many of us have in broken promises. Some of the lyrics in the song go like this: their kind of promises can just destroy a life. Their kind of promises take all the joy from life. Have you ever experienced broken promises? And how do you feel? How have you felt when somebody promised something to you and then didn't come through in fulfilling it? Or dare I say, and I ask myself, have you ever broken a promise? And how did that make you feel? How do you think it made the person feel that was affected by it? Promises, promises. Well, the reality is there is only one who keeps perfect promises perfectly. And that is the Almighty God, whom we are blessed to know and believe and trust in. And so in Psalm 146, God comes to us and he makes it very evident and clear that there is no human being apart from Christ who can claim and even fulfill, if they do claim, that he is totally, absolutely trustworthy. There is only one, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord, God who came in the flesh. And so it shouldn't surprise us then in this psalm that God directs his people then as he directs his church now, each of us individually, put not your trust in princes. Put not your trust in princes. Now this is speaking of the political leaders of the day. And certainly Israel needed to hear this, because here they are living in the promised land that God miraculously had given to them, and they had experienced that. It was in their history. It was their legacy. They knew how God had established this land for them. And yet the longer that they were living in the promised land, what do? They stray away from God, and they seek their comfort, their counsel, their strength from surrounding nations. In Isaiah 7, remember when God came to Ahaz, and Ahaz was being threatened. He was king of Judah, threatened by the northern kingdom and other alliances that were going on there. Ahaz already had a plan. He was going to go with the Assyrians. Well, that was real wise, because we know what happens later with the Assyrians. But he was determined, already made up his mind. God comes to Ahaz offering him a sign, and Ahaz says, I don't need it, God, I'm fine, you know, I've got this all under control. Well, we know later Assyria then turns on Judah and totally annihilates it. Well, in Isaiah 31, verse 1, God gives this warning to his church then. Woe to those who go down from Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong. But do not look to the Holy One of Israel or consult the Lord. There's the problem. And you could exchange horses and chariots with F-18 Hornets or all of the weaponry we have available to us in the military today. And not that we don't need that equipment, but the question is, who are we trusting in? And where do we go to? Whom do we go to first? Israel failed to do that time and time again. And in failing to do that, they brought destruction upon themselves. Well, we fast forward to our current times. How much trust do you put in political leaders? That's maybe a little laughable. But I may ask it in a little different way. How much time do you spend following politics in comparison to the time that you spend in God's Word? Having quiet time, allowing God to speak to your heart and direct your life. Now, I'm not being anti-political here, and certainly we even have Mike Tiener in our congregation who's running for a political office. And we praise God for strong Christian men and women that want to serve in that capacity. We need you in those positions. But the question is, again, where do we ultimately put our trust? And the Lord says, do not trust in princes. And you know, even those who serve well, and in the history of our nation, we have had just outstanding leaders who have served very well, but how long did their reign last? It's very short-lived, and God reveals that to us in the psalm. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Now, with the Hitlers and the Stalins and the Saddam Husseins, what a blessing that those people weren't allowed to live for hundreds of years. On the flip side, it's frustrating sometimes when somebody is really a good leader and then their term is very short-lived. But it's the reality of how life is, and God doesn't want us to be drawn into that world, putting our trust there. Do not trust in princes. And the Lord also warns, put not your trust in a son of man. And that means, in general, do not put your trust in other human beings above God. That God is ultimately the one to whom we should turn and trust in. And you know, you think of the great patriarchs of the Old Testament, like the Moseses, Abrahams, all of those great people, and yet they were sinful human beings, weren't they? And in their sin, they did atrocious things, they broke promises, they even told lies, they committed all kinds of horrendous crimes, and it's revealing to the truth of Romans 3:23, which is true among all of us here as well. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are all sinful human beings. And in that reality, there's not one of us in this room that can perfectly keep every promise that is made. But praise God that he can and he does. Do not put your trust in a son of man. You know, Dionne Warwick's song, Promises, Promises, their kind of promises can destroy a life. Think about how many broken promises have really hindered, if not destroyed, lives on this earth. You think, you know, I just think a simple one. When we have a disaster with hail around here, who instantly shows up? Man, you've got roofers coming out of the woodwork, right? You have to really be careful. And they've all got great promises. They've all got great deals. But you really have to do your research and know who the credible ones are. Because there are people that are just in the business intentionally of breaking promises. They're scammers. That's just one example of so many others. But it begs the question, How many promises have you and I broken? And that's where God speaks right to your heart and mine, and to see the seriousness of that. Well, the good news is that the Lord, and only the Lord, keeps every promise. And sometimes maybe we'd like God not to keep his promise. Now, that might sound kind of weird, but think of Adam and Eve. What did God tell them? You know, if you eat of the forbidden fruit, you will surely die. Now, God is sharing the truth, but that's a promise. You know, if you do this, this will be the consequence. There's a promise maybe mankind would wish that, gee, that one didn't come through. But no, then we couldn't trust God, could we? But it did come true because God intended for it to be that way. It's his judgment for sin. But God also gave another promise, didn't he? The seed of the woman. And that seed of the woman in Genesis 3:15, the first gospel promise in Scripture, and it's the promise of the anointed one, the Messiah in the Hebrew of the Old Testament, the anointed one, the Christ, who is the fulfillment, the same person in the Greek language, and Jesus has come. And we know by God's promise that Jesus would fulfill this plan of salvation. And we know those glorious words that Jesus spoke from the cross, "It is finished." And that literally means it has been completed for all time. God announcing to the world that nobody can undo what Jesus has just done. Nobody. Why? Because God remains faithful to everything he promises. And Jesus at the cross fulfilled everything necessary for salvation. And leading up to the cross, he fulfilled everything in fulfilling the law perfectly, which none of us can do. And then he offers the benefit of that. And at the cross, when he died, he completed this work and he paid the full punishment for all of our sin. Everything is complete, and God's promise to you and me today is that it is so and is absolutely trustworthy. And that means absolute security for you and me who live in the faith. Think about that. And you know, you think of the incredible promises throughout this journey of prophecy and fulfillment. You know, in the Old Testament, talk about promises. God promised when his people, even before they went into exile, he told them it was going to happen and they would be in Babylon. But then God promised them before it ever happened, 150 years prior to, that a king was going to rise up by the name of Cyrus. And Cyrus would allow God's people to come home from their exile. Cyrus wasn't a thought in the wind to the world. He was unknown. He wasn't even born. And God already calls him by name. And guess what? 150 years later, Cyrus is a real leader and he conquers Babylon. And through Cyrus, God has his people released to go back home to the promised land. Or you think of Micah, 500 years before it happens, announcing in little Bethlehem, Ephrathah, the specific Bethlehem near Jerusalem, that the Christ child would be born. And then through a census, Mary and Joseph, Mary greatly pregnant with child, have to travel south from Nazareth. It's the last thing they would do when she was so pregnant. But they had no choice. It was a political government decree. They had to go to Bethlehem. And the prophecy is fulfilled. And these are just a few of those as illustration. But in 1 Kings 8:56 and 60, Solomon proclaims in dedicating the temple after it was built, the faithfulness of God. And look at these glorious words. "Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel." And then look at that. "According to all that he promised. Not one word has failed of all his good promise, which he spoke by Moses his servant." Wow. Not one word failed. God is absolutely trustworthy. And another wonderful thing about the Lord that we learn in Psalm 146, unlike leaders of the world, they're here for a moment and then they perish. God doesn't perish. But he reigns, as we hear at the end of this psalm, God reigns forever. And so God's plans will never perish. The promises that God makes to you and me individually, to the world, they will never perish, but every one will be fulfilled, every dot of the I dotted perfectly as God has promised. Why? Because this is how God works and this is who God is. He is consistent perfectly by his character and his actions. And here in Psalm 146, we're reminded, God is big enough to do this because he's the creator of all things, emphasizing his strength and power, that he created everything and all life that we know. And as such, then, he can do what he has promised, always. He is absolutely trustworthy. And the good news is he's present with every generation. You ever think about that? You know, we think of our families and generations that are gone and that have died in the faith and they're in heaven, they're no longer with us. But who was with them? God was there. And now we're the generations that are living on this earth. Who is with us? God is right here with us. One day, if the Lord doesn't return before our generation ceases to exist on this earth, then we will be in glory and there will be new generations, but who's going to be with them? The same Almighty God who never changes, who is absolutely consistent. Every generation. What good news. And God informs us that while we do live, he provides. You might want to read this psalm today. It kind of ties in with the James reading that we heard a few moments ago. God does not show preference to one over another, but God loves the whole world. And God provides for everyone in whatever position they are in. He is the one who provides our every need. And on the flip side, he promises that, yeah, there's a lot of wickedness in the world, but that's going to come to an end. That, too, is going to perish. And so think about the promises now that remain unfulfilled. There are some pretty amazing promises. How about this one, John 14? This just before, a few hours before Jesus dies on the cross, comforting his church then, comforting us now. If I go to prepare a place for you, and of course Jesus is speaking of going through the cross, the resurrection, the ascension into heaven. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Where is that? Heaven, isn't it? It's in glory. And notice, Jesus doesn't have ifs or mights in here, but he states it just as fact, which it is, I will come again, I will take you, and that where I am, you may be also. We can bank on that promise, even through the mystery of death, because God never reneges on any promise. And then in Revelation 21, 3-5, we get a glimpse into heaven, and God reveals to us some of the amazing things that are going on in heaven. I love the no mores. There's no more death or mourning or crying or pain. We're in the very presence of God for eternity without the affliction of sin. And then look at the end of that passage. Jesus is the one speaking here, and he says, write this down, for these words are what? Trustworthy and true. What a double emphasis. The Lord says, I want you to absolutely get this without doubt. You can trust in me. Why? Because God says, and he's proven it, he keeps his promises perfectly. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 to 18, we don't have on the screen, but you can look that one up, and it's about when the Lord returns, and he'll come down from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first, we hear. And then all of the living church, along with those who have died in the faith and have risen again, we're all going to be gathered together. We're all going to be received into glory together in heaven. What an incredible day. And we don't have to say, boy, I wished I could experience that. I wonder what that would be like. No, we can say, I can't wait till I do experience it. What an incredible moment that will be. But in the meantime, and these references, by the way, are in the bulletin. You may want to look these up. But there's a series of promises that I just listed, a few of many more that could be listed. Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good. What an outstanding promise. Think about that one. Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Doesn't say I might. Jesus says, I will. But come to me. Don't run off to other human beings first and trust in their wisdom. God says, come to me first and foremost. Philippians 4:19, God promises that he'll supply all our needs. 1 Corinthians 10:13, God promises that he protects us when we are tempted. He'll even give us ways out of those severe temptations. Psalm 46:1, we heard it's the theme passage for our school this year. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God's not just saying these words, it's reality. We are living in the midst of these promises. If God is for us, who can be against us? Think about that when you're overwhelmed with very frightening things in life, and then think about how big God is. And God wants us to know that he is here for us and nobody can harm us. Ephesians 2:10, we are God's workmanship. And God has incredible work for us to do. He even has a plan laid out. And John 10:27 and 28, the Lord promises he's our shepherd, we're his sheep, and we will never perish, and he's not going to allow anyone to snatch us out of his hand. And the list goes on and on and on. And do you think we can trust in all these words? Absolutely. Because God never lies. He never reneges on a promise. And so when we think about that song, Promises, Promises, I'm all through with promises. Boy, I don't want to be through with God's promises. We're just focusing on the wrong promises if we go in that mode. But let us trust in the perfect promise keeper. And let us praise him again, by the way. And I'd like us to conclude by reading together, praising God in the words that are on the screen. And would you praise God with me? Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.